Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Okay. We're reloaded. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. SP, doing the Duke of the Duke, back on the grind. No more replay time. Okay. So this week's events have been plentiful. Plentiful. And Mr. FSP, along with Mr. JT, I'm stuck in 10th place in fantasy baseball money, are here to give you some good insight on what's going on in fantasy football, well, in football in general, with the draft, the NBA, because the playoffs for some reason have been exceptionally good this year. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about who's sliding, who's rising, who's falling, who got picked too high, all that other good stuff in fantasy, I mean, in the NFL. Major League Baseball, quietly, they're doing pretty well. No void issues. Yasiel Puig's situation has gone down, even though he got into an altercation yesterday with Madison Bumgarner, I believe it was. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about a lot of great, great things, especially how somebody's in the cellar, they're a dweller. And Mr. SSP to you is ruling the roost between the two. So, with that being said, I'm going to bring in the guy that I know has the most information, motivation, confrontation, everything there is to know about sports, except when I stump the hump, and I'm going to go do that today as well. My co-host, my man, my ace, JT ATM Money. What's going on, JT?
Not much, man. How you been? Kind of down, kind of up. Mixed bag here. I don't know what to tell you. Mixed bag, you know. I'm enjoying the draft. I'm enjoying seeing these guys come off the board left and right. But I still have questions. Scratching my head with some picks. But we can get into it, talk about it. I'm glad to be here.
I know you are. I'm glad to have you. It's always good to talk with you back and forth about anything and everything from life to sports and how dominant I am and how behind the curve the Texans are, along with JTAT and money. Well, here's what I got for you, JT. I'll let you decide. Do you want to go NBA first? Because I know we got a lot to talk about in football. But NBA, football, or baseball first, which one you want?
Well, how much? Let me put it this way. Is your NBA, whatever you want to talk about, NBA extensive? Because the topic really on hand, in my opinion, is all about football. So all these other sports, they're good to talk about, but the main crux of everything, in my opinion, should be on the football and the draft. But it's your show. If you want to talk about NBA, we can talk about NBA first, baseball second, and then go from there.
All right. I'm glad JT Money understands and knows his role. Because the rock.
Boy, you are feeling it today. But that's okay. That's okay, hey, young man.
I'm on the John Cena diet thing
Okay.
Let's see what happens. So no carbs and stuff. This is going to be a
You're on a diet? Oh, so I wasn't wrong when I saw you.
Hey.
You're a little stubby when I saw you last Facebook.
Really? Actually, I wasn't, but that's okay. But no, that comment you made to me and my dentist said something that got me like, wow, what's going on? So I'm ratcheting up my program a little bit. I'm doing a little more than what I normally do.
Funny. You are a funny guy, man.
What do you mean I'm funny? What do you mean I'm funny?
You're funny as in and humor.
Whoa.
Funny, man.
Logan Thomas got picked.
No, it's not a loaded comment.
Partner.
That's the way you take it. I said you're a funny guy.
No. I said Logan. Logan Thomas.
Logan Thomas. Who took him?
Pitch.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
He got taken by the Cardinals before your boy even comes off the board.
What the heck is going on? And there's three guys right now that I got question marks on, like that apparently other teams have questions on, and then we can talk about it, but I'm not going to get into it now. But Logan Thomas,
just write
wow,
it down.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just write it down. Write down those names so we can talk about them when I bring up the sound bites and stuff.
Okay.
Here's what I got, ladies and gentlemen. The NBA has been pretty good in this postseason. So good that I've actually stopped watching some of my regular shows to look at some of the playoffs. Not to mention I'm doing pretty well at FanDuel and Draft Street, thanks to Jerry's addictive behavior. But I've been watching. And if NBA action was like this all year long, I think I would have been watching a lot more too. I really think I would have been. However, one team in particular that I wish would do a little better, they came out good, but they ended up, or they're looking like they're falling to the wayside, of my Washington Wizards. Washington got rid of the Bulls, who I thought was going to beat them. Then they're playing the Indianapolis Pacers, or Indiana Pacers, I'm sorry, Indiana Pacers. And the problem with that is they came out and beat them the first game. Now they've lost two games back to back, and in convincing fashion they lost them. Now, I don't know what psychologist Roy Hibbert talked to. I don't know what information was given. I personally thought it was John Thompson who talked to him and set him straight and got him back where he needed to be. But the Pacers are on a roll. Roy Hibbert is walking around with his head held high, chest out, daring dudes to do things in the middle. And Paul George says that has a little bit of something to do with him going back-to-back with winning. Let's hear from Paul George.
We're taking baby steps. We haven't won a back-to-back, you know, but we did it against, you know, Atlanta, but it took us, you know, game six, game seven to get a back-to-back win. You know, we were able to do so early in this series. So, you know, we're building habits. And at the end of the day, I mean, that's all we can ask for. You know, a lot of areas that we would like to clean up, but, you know, we'll take a win in the playoffs.
So they're trying to fix their habits. They're trying to do a lot of different things with the Pacers. They're starting to look more and more like the team that I said would challenge the Heat.
Yep.
For the East crown.
Yep.
Only problem is the Heat's running through the Nets. They haven't lost yet. I think they're going to win tonight. The point spread is 2.5. I think the Heat are going to dominate again. And what is this? That would be game four. They would have swept the Heat. They would have swept the Nets, or if it's game three for the Nets. I don't know. But, you know, the Pacers are looking pretty dazzling good. What do you think, JT?
Well, let me tell you something. There's two things here you talked about. You talked about two different teams, the first and second seed in the East. Let's talk about the Pacers. The last game they won, or the next the last game they won, because I think they won the last two games in the Atlanta series, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right about that?
Yes, and then they came back and lost.
Okay. Game six. Game six. We talked about game six, and one of the things, if you do recall, I'm pretty sure you were on the air when I said it. I said that it looked like the Pacers found their confidence in game six when they pulled that game out late. And then they carried it through to the to the game seven against Atlanta. They lost the first game against the Wizard, and I'm thinking that was because they had it was such a quick turnaround that they had to get their legs back under them, because they have looked like early season Pacers the last two games. They have looked like the early season Pacers in the last two games, and I'm thinking game six was up against Atlanta was the key. I see Indiana Pacers being that team now that was earlier in the season when they were a very good team. Whatever funk they were in, whatever issues they had, I don't see that happening. I think they got a newfound confidence. I think Roy Hibbert, whatever his issue was, has got a newfound confidence. These guys are ready to play, and I see the Wizards, your Washington Wizards, being in big trouble against this team, against a seasoned but young team that's been in the playoffs against an inexperienced Wizard team that hasn't been here in a long time and is a very young team. On the other hand, Miami, 0-4, against the Brooklyn Nets during the regular season, 4-0 against Charlotte, put them away real quick in the first round of the playoffs, was rested, came out, first game, made a statement. Came out, second game, made a statement. Let me tell you something. I'm thinking, and full for the first two rounds of the playoffs, I'm thinking the Nets have no shot. No shot in winning against the Miami Heat. I think LeBron and company are out to make a statement, and one of the statements is against the Nets because of what they did in the regular season.
You know, I think so. One key factor is Ray Allen shooting lights out, man. Ray Allen is becoming a valued asset in the playoffs.
Oh,
and
it has
been. Yeah, he always has been. I think that's why, you know, that's been the X factor as of late. You know, it hasn't been Dwayne Wade, even though Dwayne Wade has done his part, hasn't been Chris Bosh, hasn't been LeBron. They've all done their part. But it's Ray Allen. Ray Allen is the common denominator there. And back to the Pacer issue, if that game six against the Hawks is a turning point, I don't know what game one against the Wizards was. Maybe it was let me come down and or whatever. Whatever it was, we just came out and spanked them. And two consecutive games, the Pacers have dominated the Wizards. On the boards, shooting, everything. And it looks like they are in trouble. You know, it doesn't look that way. I believe they play tomorrow.
Yes.
But the Heat can close out tonight. Four games. Or is it, no, this is game three. Game three.
All series is game three.
Yeah. So, you know, they already got 2-0. You know, they can go 3-0 and then be sitting and waiting if the Pacers let Washington steal one away from them. Because right now, the Pacers took back home court advantage. If I'm not mistaken, they took back home court advantage. So it's up to the Wizards to come together and start shooting better. Now let's flip over to the West Coast, where we have, and again, I think that the Western Conference champions, they're going to be too beat up whenever they play either whoever comes out of the East. Because every fight over there, except for the Portland-San Antonio fight, is a dog fight. I think Portland's going to, you know, step up today because they're at home and they're going to have the crowd behind them and maybe their shooting will come back. But to be quite honest, San Antonio has dominated them as well. But OKC and the Clippers, I mean, these guys are going at it. They're
yes.
going at it hard.
Yes.
Now, last night, OKC pulled off the victory in L.A. It was close. It was 118-112, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yes.
But let's hear from Chris Paul. What did Chris Paul have to say about losing on such a close game?
We've been a team that, you know, regardless how the first three quarters it went, or even the first 6-7 minutes of the fourth quarter, we relied on stops down the stretch. And tonight we didn't do that. We didn't get stops. We obviously scored enough points to win, but, you know, Russ hit a big three when they were up one. And KD hit a tough one on the right wing. And, you know, we're used to getting stops in those situations, and we didn't tonight.
And on a side note, you know, Kevin Durant and Chris Paul say they can't stand each other on the court. But off the court, they're best of friends. And at halftime, you know, I think it was Greg Saber who asked, you know, Chris Paul, what was that tech about? What was that about? And Chris Paul was like, no, we just going to play the game. I don't care what that dude got to say. We just play the game. So, you know, that's what I like about those two. That's what makes a pro a pro. On the court, you're fighting to win. Best friend or not. I know my competition, when I play football, or even when I do this show, are my best friends. Because I know they're going to give me their best. You know, I can't be the scrub. So when I'm playing with my friends in football, whether it's video games or back when we were younger playing tackle football, I couldn't stand it that one of my friends was better than me. I knew a couple of them were faster, but none of them had the full package, and I knew I had the full package. But my one friend, he would always be better than me. Always. Everything. It drove me crazy.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But I know that's one of your idiosyncrasies that I know that, Victor.
Well,
I'm getting to you, too.
You know, I'm getting to you on this as well.
Okay.
But, you know, he would just somehow, some way be better than me in every little thing. Maybe the smallest thing, you know. And, like, as I say, when we do radio, doing the show, I know that Jerry's better than me in certain aspects, and I you know, give deference to him for that. But I won't admit it, but so many times. I really won't.
I know you
I
won't,
really
that's,
won't,
but that's okay.
And, you know, I might tell him off air or whatever, but on air, I'm looking to be smarter than him, better than him, more knowledge than him. Because, yeah, he's got the moniker master playing, you know, a.k.a. the master. But damn it, I'm the one that bought the slaves. So I can't let him be better than me. But anyway.
It's all good in the hood, as you say.
Oh, yeah. But that's what I liken it to when I'm looking at this OKC versus Clipper matchup. You know,
mm-hmm.
Chris Paul and KD, they want to go at it. Chris Paul doesn't want to be looked at as a second tier or second to Westbrook at point guard either. You know, he says, a question was asked of him, you know, you don't have that many points, da-da-da-da-da. He said, well, I'm a point guard. I'm not a shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't taking a dig, at least I don't think he was, taking a dig at Westbrook. But, you know, it happened.
Yep.
It happened.
Let me interject this, man, because, I, you know, I haven't been watching too many playoff games, but I have been because my wife's been telling me these playoff games have been real good. And I caught quite a bit of this game we're talking about now, the series we're talking about now, the OKC against L.A. Clippers. And this past game was an extremely physical game, and the refs didn't play, and bloody nose from Blake Griffin. There's a lot of physical things going on in this, and it's impressing me, and I got to believe because of the – and if people haven't heard it yet, they should go on YouTube and type it in. The Kevin Durant MVP speech, and I got to believe that inspired his team because that was like one of the best speeches or talks or whatever you want to call it that a – pro athlete and a very extremely humbling athlete talked about each and every aspect of his team, his coaches, his trainers, whoever was involved with the team, including the owner, and lastly but not leastly was his mother. And I gotta believe that inspired his team because his team picked up their play immensely. Especially in the physical part of it, and I think it's caught L.A. off guard, and they don't know how to handle being handled like they handle other teams.
You might have something there. You really might have something there. You know, the one thing that I saw, and I don't know why they went away from it, was at the beginning of the game, they were pounding Blake Griffin down in the box.
Yep.
Isolation. One-on-one versus Ibaka. Now, that guy Ibaka in foul trouble, they brought in Collison. Collison's a good defender, but he's not as good as Ibaka is.
Right.
Even though he did well yesterday. So they went away from that. They started doing jump shots, which I understand. But when you got Blake Griffin, who outweighs Ibaka by, I think, 15, 20 pounds,
mm-hmm.
and he can just bully him down in the block and go for a layup or dunk, I don't care what it is. I'm going to that every play until either Ibaka fouls out, Collison fouls out, or Blake gets hurt. Because my point is, I'm more physical than you are. Kevin Durant, I love you, KD, but you need to put some weight on. You're a stick. You know, Ibaka, same thing. Good dude, but you're a stick. So even if it was big baby Glenn Davis that they put in, I would have did the same thing. CP3 would have had 20 assists because I was going to dish. And Kansas City just picked up DeAnthony Thomas, and that's a bad set of running backs right there.
Yes, it is. I'm looking at me. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Wow.
That's awesome. But anyway,
you got Jamal Charles. You got, I'm trying to think who his backup is.
DeAnthony
oh, my
Thomas
God.
McClellan.
No.
Who? McClellan.
No. They had a rookie as his backup. Oh, my God. What the heck is
this? Yeah.
I forget what his name off the top of my head. They had a rookie that's a very good player with a lot of speed. Now they got this guy who's got a lot of speed. Man, oh, man, talking about speed in the backfield and versatility in the backfield, typical Andy Reid type of set of running backs. But anyway, we digress to football real quick. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're about to head there in a minute. But, yeah, the thing is, I'm looking at this game as, hey, look, we're supposed to be going to the NBA championship. But one of these teams is supposed to go to the NBA championship. I really think San Antonio is a little too old as far as players to compete with both of these teams in the Western Conference Final. Even though they're handling Portland. Portland's a two-trick pony, though. Damon Lillard and Aldridge. Bantam, for some reason, he's lost his touch, and that's it. So I don't really consider them a real contender. But one of these two teams is going to the NBA Finals. And I think the Clippers need to pound DeAndre Jordan, pound Blake Griffin, and let Harrison Barnes and the rest of those cats set up outside, because if you pound them enough, they kick it out, you got a wide open three. That's my thought.
I have to differ to you. I've been watching, and like I said, my wife's been telling me that these games have been good, so I've been catching as much as I can of these teams. And let me tell you something. What Greg Popovich did all season in picking his spots and resting his starters is paying off tenfold in the playoffs. San Antonio is absolutely schooling Portland Trailblazers. Absolutely. Young guys, got a lot of talent, especially the two aforementioned guys that you already talked about. A lot of talent, no experience in the playoffs to speak of. And you got San Antonio with a hell of a mix. And I talked with someone yesterday about this. Got a heck of a mix of old and new that play hellified defense and is picking up on the offensive side of the ball too. So Portland, I don't think they're going to win a game. I tell you that right now. I do not think that these two teams that I don't think are going to win a game. I'd be surprised if they win a game. Is Portland against San Antonio and the Nets against the Heat, because both these teams seem like they're on a collision course. Both these teams look like they got an attitude that they never been to the big dance and trying to get there. Because they're playing like that. Miami's playing like they're not the two-time world champions. They're playing like they're hungry and they want to get back to the champion. They want to get to the championship. And the same thing with San Antonio. And the two teams that they're playing now, I think they're going to be sacrificial lambs in the second round to get to their respective conference championships in order to get back to the finals. I saw the frustration, the extreme frustration from the Brooklyn Nets because of the dominance of the Miami Heat. And I saw the same frustration, maybe a little bit more, in the young Damian Lillard and company playing against the San Antonio Spurs because of the defensive pressure they put on them. And also because the offense that they were able to generate against them also. I'm impressed with San Antonio. I mean, they got a hell of a mix, like I said, between old and new players. And they're gelling. And let me put it this way. You got Tony Parker. You got Manu Ginobili. And you got Tim Duncan. Three guys that have been to the championship and won them multiple times, deferring offense, throwing the pass to Kawhi Leonard so he can shoot because he's on a roll, and he's lighting Portland up. Now that's saying something about the type of team San Antonio is. Doesn't make a difference who's scoring. If you're scoring and you're helping the team, that's all it's about, is to win the game. I'm locked in, man. The game's on, I'm watching them because I love watching really good basketball, not one-on-one. And these teams that we're watching now are playing good team basketball.
I agree, Mr. Taylor. I agree. So much so that, you know, I look at all this stuff that goes on, you know, in the NBA prior to the playoffs and say, that I don't like that. I don't like that. But what I do like is the playoff atmosphere. Matter of fact, one of my buddies, last night he was the honoree service member at the Wizards game, and I said jokingly to him, he's the reason why we got blown out, because he was there and he was the honoree, so he went center court, and you know, he looks like he should be playing, but team basketball is what's going to do it. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Right.
And you're right. Absolutely right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the phone number real quick because we're about to do some fantasy baseball. The number, if you want to reach us, if you want to talk to us, get your 2 cents in. Chris Paul, I'm talking to you. Kevin Durant, I'm talking to you. Or anybody else. Bryce Harper, I'm talking to you. You can call us on the FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com hotline, where winners win and players play, so go there and win today. 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. You can check us out on three locations. The first location, obviously, blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, where you can look at or listen to any of our episodes there. You can also go to spotonradio.webs.com. That's spotonradio.webs.com, where we're streaming 24/7, 365, 7 days a week. Not a bad place to be. You can also advertise on that site. Looking for advertisers every day. Sponsorship. You can also go to fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com to join in on that. Same conversation. Streaming 24/7, 365. Thinking of just keeping up one. Don't know just yet. We're going to do what we do because we do it for you. And we got a lot of great stuff on the side. But right now, let's go ahead and hustle on over to baseball. So, Mr. Taylor.
Yes.
Mr. Taylor.
Yes.
Can you tell me what happened to you last week in your fantasy matchup and where you are and what's going on, Mr. Taylor?
I am, let me put it this way. I am in a Victor Gardner type of season.
Really?
I really believe that. I think I'm the whipping boy of the league this year. It seems like my bats have totally fell asleep, and I can't generate anything from my bats, which I was counting on. Very inconsistent. I've been reaching for some other players. And a little inconsistency from there. My pitching is killing me, and I think I'm doomed. I really early in the season, I'm telling you right now, I think I'm doomed. This is going to be a rough hole to get out of, and I'm stating it right now. Looks like I may be the whipping boy of the league right now. So I'll say it first because I already got dogged out by Andrew Hakuna Tuhata last week calling me out. But it's fine because I may have deserved it. I haven't been talking that much this year. I talked a lot the first and second year I was in the league. But I knew I tried something different this year, and quite naturally it's not working, which is fine. I think I'm gonna get dogged out, and it's going to be a long several weeks in fantasy football. But I do know one thing: when it comes push to shove, and I need to go up against somebody named Victor Gardner and his FSP, whatever his name of his team is, it doesn't make a difference. I still whip
Mr.
that
FSP
butt.
To you. Mr.
I still
FSP
whip that butt.
Mr. FSP to you. I'm going to keep saying it. Since you're such a big person on names, Mr. FSP to you.
Mr. FSP.
Well, no, it's FSP Lincoln Diamond League, but it's always you. Mr. FSP.
Whatever. It doesn't make a difference. Your last name is always loser when you go up against me. in fantasy baseball.
Really? Oh, really? Okay. All right. Let me, since you want to go there, what place are you in?
I'm in last place right now. And like I said, and I have to tell you the truth, Victor. I'm going to tell you the truth right now. And I don't know who's in the league is listening. I'm going to put my lineup in, but I'm not really feeling my team because I think it's doomed. Seems like all the moves I've made, I've waived the person, put him on a free agent, and he's gone off the next day or the same day I put him, or I put somebody on a bench and he decides to have a monster day. So I'm thinking the karma of my baseball team this season there is no karma. Let me put it that way. So I put my lineup in. Hopefully it does something. It may not. But the only weeks I'm going to concentrate and beating that butt is when Mr. FSP happens to be playing me.
Well, that means you're going to wait till week 13, so you don't mind losing all the way up to then. You don't lose then.
Wait a minute. Like I said, I don't say I don't mind losing, but I have to come to the realization that may be my MO for the rest of the season. Cause my team, I got good players on it. My pitching staff is suspect. I was counting on some of my guys I picked to come through, and I'm starting to drop them one by one. So we'll see what happens. I'm not having completely given up quite yet, and I'm not that type of person to do that, but it doesn't look good for the home team.
No, it is not. No, it is not. Not at all. All right, well, you know, I'm not doing too well out of it. However, I am ahead of Mr. Taylor. I'm in seventh place, and this week my pitching just hasn't stepped up to the plate. I don't understand why, but it is what it is. My bats are okay. They haven't been explosive again. This is like the first third of the season, so I'm not too worried about it. I've got plenty of time to go. But Mr. Taylor is definitely not reaping any benefits of any of his trades. I mean, is C.J. Wilson going to stay on your team, or is...
Yes, C.J. Wilson will stay on my team. He's probably the better of my pitchers. Let me put it that way.
Yes, he is. Courtesy of me, and he was like my late-round draft pick, like one of my last picks.
Mm-hmm.
That should tell you, ladies and gentlemen, how well I do business. But anyway, what's going to happen is we're going to step away. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk about the NFL, Jerry's Wolves, as I said, whatever team Jerry supports, they get the Jerry Jinx or the Jerry Curse, while his supposedly non-supported team gets better. We'll talk about it in a minute. Ticket sales meet your boy FSP along with JT ATM Money here on the FSP Show, Saturday edition, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be right back.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety. For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to. This is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to join us.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, baby?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's Mr. FSP, back in the 50s. Don't want to do it only because I can, and I will. Sitting alongside me is my co-host, as usual, JKJ, Money Hardcore, a hip-hop fan that he is. Joke.
If you listen to my show, you know there's no hip-hop. mainly old school, so.
Yeah, old school. But, it's time to get down and dirty, ladies and gentlemen. When I hit this button, it's officially on.
Go! Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stacked defenses in the pros. They must meld the butt of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
All right, Mr. Taylor. All right. And this is how I'm going to start off this segment. Only because Mr. Taylor, he supports this team, and ever since he supported them, they've gone downhill. I promise you, it's the Jersey Jerry Jinx, JJJ. But here's another J, and it feels as though he's going to make a difference.
I think you kill the media and guys with silence. You don't give them nothing to go on. You just keep proving people wrong like I've been doing my whole life. I'm going to come here and work. You know, I'm going to get these guys what they want out of me. That's a hardworking guy. I told him that. So day one when I walk in here, I'm here to work and help win games.
All right, Mr. Taylor.
J&J Express is on the way. Quarterbacks beware. I say J for Jadavian, and of the other J is for J.J. Watt. The J&J Express is on the way, and it's got a express ticket, no local stops, straight to the quarterback. I'm excited. I am extremely excited that we have Mr. Jadavian Clowney in the house in Houston, along with Brian Cushing, J.J. Watt, and company on the defense. It's going to be a pleasure. Last year was an anomaly. They were a playoff team the year before. Things like that happen. Team gets in a funk, and it just snowballs, and that's what happened last year. I've been a fan of the Houston Texans for 2 years now. 1 year, the last year they were in the playoffs, not last year, but the year before they were in the playoffs. So everybody's jumping on the bandwagon because they had their bad year, saying I'm a jinx. Well, they just had a bad year. That year is going to get turned around. Now, in the next three picks, hopefully, with the 35th pick in the fourth round, which is a compensatory pick, they will pick a quarterback because they have not picked a quarterback yet in this draft.
Yep.
And all the named quarterbacks, for the most part, are gone. So hopefully in the fourth round, because I don't believe after the fourth round that one of these quarterbacks, whoever they're looking at, Tom Savage, A.J. McCarron, or Tom Mecklenburger, who's got issues, is going to be there. Nonetheless, they also have Todd Boyd sitting out there, which I'm surprised he hasn't been picked anywhere. Those four quarterbacks, in my opinion, are the probably the, along with Aaron Murray, I'm sorry, from Georgia, He's another quarterback that hasn't been picked. Those five quarterbacks are still sitting out there. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I would have thought that, especially A.J. McCarron, who is a winning quarterback. They call him a game manager. They call him he's on a high-caliber team in Alabama that he didn't have to do much. Now, if you win 34 games throughout the 3 years that he was there, you mean he just was there along for the ride for 37 games, even though I think they lost three games or two games, whatever, in his college career? No, he's had to make some plays when it becomes necessary because he won two college championships. And I'm hoping within the next couple of picks here, when Houston's on the clock with their compensatory pick, they pick up A.J. McCarron on the cheap in the fourth round. And I'm really hoping they do that. But we'll have to wait and see. I have the utmost confidence in Rick Smith as the GM of the Houston Texans and also of the head coach, Bill O'Brien, who is a very good talent evaluator, in my opinion, of quarterbacks to pick up the right guy to run this team because all the pieces are there. The defense, in my opinion, is there. It's efficient enough. The offense, they have offensive weapons. It's a quarterback that is needed, and they need to pick it up very soon.
Okay. Well, I'm going to address two things you said. Your boy, Jadeveon, game one, he's got to face Morgan Moses, who's a very talented tackle. He's going to the right side for the Redskins as Trey Thomas stays on the left side. And they picked up a guard as well. So Jadeveon's got him, while J.J. J.J.'s got Morgan, and Jadeveon has Trent Williams. I'm sorry, Trent Williams. If they keep them on the same side that they're supposed to be on, if they flip-flop them or they put them side by side, that might be a better makeup for teams. But once I see that Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt on the same side, I'm checking to a run play to the opposite side. That's exactly what I would do as a quarterback. But that's just me.
Well, I got to believe that they're not going to play him. That, I mean, at times they'll be on the same side. But I got to believe they're going to move them all around and quite naturally put them on opposite sides so teams can't scheme for that particular reason because they're on one side or the other. If they're on opposite sides, then you got to pick your poison. And don't discount the nose tackle we got also because he's going to be a force on the front line too. So I'm real excited. I'm real excited to see what happens when these guys really get playing.
Mr. Taylor, week one, game one, I smell action. That's all I'm saying. Week one, game one. I'll let you take all summer long to ponder that. Take all summer if you like. But I know what I'm down for. Now, to my other point, I don't think they're going to get a quarterback until, like, the later rounds, like seventh round, because there's a deal that's supposed to get worked out for Ryan Mallett. And Ryan Mallett's a big, scrapping guy, quarterback coach, is now the head coach in Houston. There's mutual interest there, but what's the compensation is the question for next year.
All right, come on, Houston. Do me right here. Houston's on the clock now. Go ahead. I'm listening to you, Beck.
I know. You got your panties in a bunch because your boy's on the clock, and they're not going to pick a quarterback. If they do, it would be Metzenberger, who's the bigger, supposedly more quarterback than person. Even though, like I said, it's in the chance. All he did was win. And it is what it is. But regardless of that, I think that there's an issue in Houston. Fitzpatrick is looking like he's going to be the starting quarterback. And that doesn't fit well with me. especially with Adrian Foster coming off his back surgery. Even though, I'm telling you right now, I'm a good Arian Foster, if he's there when I'm ready to get him. Because I know he's not going to be picked in the first round, which I don't think he is. If he is, somebody's going to get a good player out of him, get the value for him. But fantasy-wise, your Texans are going to look just as bad as their team did last year. The pick is in for your Houston Texans. Unfortunately for you, you don't get to see it just yet because most stations have gone to a commercial break.
No, I'm watching online,
it's
so I can see. I can see what's going on.
Of Pittsburgh.
Okay, I'll take that. I wanted a quarterback. I didn't make a difference. If it wasn't AJ, I wanted a quarterback. I got a quarterback. That's fine.
Okay.
That's all fine.
Right. Well, that's your future. And it's not a bad future. Not a bad future. But anyway, long story short, this draft's been pretty good. Before we go to the next topic, which I want to get to because I want to talk about Cleveland in a minute, but what have been some surprises other than those four quarterbacks that you see or say were not picked? Up until now, Savage was one of them, but other than QB, what have you seen that surprised you?
Well, quite naturally. You don't have to go any further. Like I said, the third pick. With Blake Bortles. And you know what? Let me tell you something. A lot of people, I wouldn't say a lot of people, but quite a few people probably missed this, but in the third round, with the, let me just go down here. Where is it at? In the third round, where the heck is it at? I know it's in the third round.
What is it?
In the third round, the 49ers picked up the running back from Ohio State. I thought he picked him up in the third round. Am I right about that?
Third round because Carlos Hyde went in the middle of the third. He's like number 54. So that is the third round.
54 or that's the fourth round? Hold on a minute. I know.
It was said to be 54. So later part of the second, going into the third.
I'm trying to think where it was. I'm looking.
Well, he was... I believe he
went to the 49ers, I know that. And yeah. I was surprised that he went to in the second round. It had to be in the second round. And, 25th pick in the second round, which is the 57th overall, Carlos Hyde, with a went to the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I had seen something. I don't know if you had – before, but I had seen something like either the early part of this week or the late part of last week that Lattimore, the running back who was pretty much redshirted last year, is still not 100%. And I got to believe that with a big back like this, 6 feet, 230, I'm talking about Carlos Hyde, is going to be competing with a 31-year-old Frank Gore for carries. So don't be surprised if Carlos Hyde, for whatever reason, may be jumping up the ladder. Maybe second, and maybe he's competing for. He'll be competing for carries once they get this kid in the in camp with Frank Gore, who's 31, and quite naturally is. Slowing down. So I was surprised that Carlos Hyde, which is one of the, I think you liked him a lot, was able was able to get picked up by the 49ers. So.
Well, smash mouth, smash mouth. They're going to get guards, they're going to get tackles, and they're going to get running back. They're going to run the ball down your throat. That's what that is.
Wait a minute, before, let me go before. But and with two picks before that, with the offensive coordinator who always brings the best out in running backs with in the Cincinnati Bengals, picked up 6'1", 233 from LSU, Jeremy Hill, who catches the ball out of the backfield quite well, and Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis' job may be in jeopardy. I tell you that right now because that OC in Cincinnati loves to run the ball and showcase running backs. So you got Giovanni Bernard and you got Jeremy Hill, the odd man out, in my opinion, unless he completely tanks, I'm talking about Jeremy Hill, is Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
The law firm, quite possibly. We'll see. But the bottom line here, ladies and gentlemen, is this.
Charlie Cassidy gave a ringing endorsement of Tom Savage, saying somebody went to church and picked and because this guy was sitting up in the fourth round, and they picked up a quarterback. And I like Tom Savage too. I just wanted a quarterback in the second round. I mean, as a pick, it didn't make a difference.
Okay.
But this guy, he went from Arizona, Rutgers, and finally went to Pitt. So
that's part of the problem, that he traveled. That was part of the problem. You know, he had a good year at Pitt, and you know, why did he go from school to school to school, whatever it may be. But we'll see what happens with him. I mean, any development to that. Starting quarterback that the Texans want, we'll see. You never know. But
well, they picked him up in the fourth round of the compensatory pick, so it's not like it's a extremely high pick as it was the first or second round. It picked him up late in the fourth round. So
yes, there's two things I wanted to talk about real quick. One is tonight begins the top 100 player countdown of 2014, well, actually three things. So we're going to talk about that. I want to talk about who I feel, you know, was a surprise. And then we want to talk about your boy, Mr. Gordon. Mr. I'm the best receiver in the NFL, smoking weed, and, you know, possibly looking at a year's ban. Cleveland still hasn't gotten back-to-back. There hasn't gotten any receivers. I don't know why, but Jacksonville, I want to get back to that original point with Jacksonville, with Blake Broyles, they got him two very, very good receivers down there in Jacksonville.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
Receivers for him to throw to. With Cecil Short there already, Mercedes Lewis can possibly, you know, turn into something decent again. Toby Gerhardt's going to run the ball hard. And they got a good defense. Jacksonville's looking to be the southeastern version of the northwest version Seattle Seahawks. The general manager, the coach, they're doing that same type of game plan. Marquise Lee is a big-name guy. Then Jordan, I believe, the kid from Penn State, you know, a big guy. You got some talent there in Jacksonville. Can they put it all together? I don't know. But if Toby Gerhardt can run the ball hard, Blake Broyles will have to be a game manager for a year. For a year. And then look at what you have when Blackman comes back. That's if they keep him. You've got Blackman. You've got Marquise Lee. And the kid from Penn State. That's if these two young rookies pan out. So I think that's a pretty good deal there. Yes, Blake Bortles might not have been the best pick at number three, but Jacksonville, they used their pick, and they got what they wanted. But to me, players that have surprised Because I think you still have a few people in the green room, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
You got a few people.
No, the last person in agreement was taken. I think the last person in agreement was a Washington Redskin. I thought that was the last person that was in the green room, if I'm not mistaken.
No. Moses wasn't the last guy in the green room. Moses was not the last guy in the green room. I don't think so. But, I think that there is still some good talent out there. But surprisingly, I thought you might have seen Coney Ealy going in the first round, or even in the second round. Coney Ealy went in the third round, if I'm not mistaken, third or fourth round. That is harsh. Did he go at the end of the second round, or the middle or beginning of the third round? Can you look that up for me?
The last person, I'm looking up the last person in the green room. The last person in the green room was Marcus Martin.
Okay.
Isn't that the guy that went to your Skins?
No, we got a tackle.
Marcus Martin went to the 49ers. I'm sorry. He went to the 49ers.
So, but Coney Ealy, I believe he lasted a very long time. And that was interesting to me. You know, this kid has a motor, and he's pretty daggone good. So that surprised me that he lasted that long. I don't know what issues there were with him, but there were. And people held off on him. Speaking of issues, a perfect segue or transition to a team that, you know, at the beginning said, I ain't worried about nothing. The Cleveland Browns, and then the word dropped that Josh Gordon might be gone for the year. This is interesting. But before, you know, Mr. Gordon is suspended, he had to say a few things about the QB situation in Cleveland.
I think it's a positive thing, you know, definitely going into camp and these workouts to see that competition level this high and the tension and the stakes, for players starting positions this high, it's going to do nothing but motivate guys to go that much harder, you know, and it's going to bring the best of everybody, I believe, knowing that at any moment, you know, there's somebody, you know, breathing down your neck.
I'm glad you said that, because if somebody steps up at the wide receiver spot, he might be doing the same thing. But he's referring to, that was Josh Gordon of the Cleveland Browns. He was referring to Bobby Poyer and Johnny Manziel. Now, Mr. Taylor.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on Mr. Manziel going to Cleveland, as well as your boy, Josh Gordon, this situation.
Well, I'm totally disgusted, man. First of all, let's start with the wide receiver first. I don't understand it. I thought this kid had got it. I thought he understood what the deal was. Now, the jury's still out. Okay, this is a report. That's the thing that he the possibility he's going to get suspended for the whole year because of his second time offense. I have to wait and see what happens. But if it turns out to be true that he did, in fact, fail a drug test and because of pot, come on, man. I mean, is that worth millions of dollars to you? Is that worth millions of dollars to you to keep on failing a freaking pot drug test? Or a drug test versus all the adulation and all the money, that the compensation that goes with it. It boggles my mind that these guys on top of the world think that it's going to last forever and they can do what they because they play a sport that a lot of people, majority of people, play for free because they don't have the elite talent that these guys that play in the NFL do, can think he can get away and beat the system and do what he do, you know, does what he wants to do. It boggles my mind. And then in fact, you bring in a guy, which this is probably one of the better fits for Johnny Manziel to come to. It's not a really a huge, big city. It's a city, but it's not a city like New York or in Dallas or something like that. So he's going to virtually a small market, a small city, but a huge football town that's going to love him, where all he has to do is put in the work and where he was thought he was getting a big-time receiver, the best receiver yardage-wise last season, who now finds out that he may be suspended for this year or maybe half the season, whatever may be coming from the NFL. He's going to be in a competition with Brian Hoyer, who's an experienced quarterback, but may have health issues because he's coming back from an ACL. Who the head coach says that he doesn't like starting rookies, especially rookie quarterbacks. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. I think he's going to go through bumps just like any other rookie. I'm not a big Johnny Manziel fan. I think he's a lot of hype, and he gets hung up with that hype. And the jury's out. Let me put it that way. The jury's out. It's a shame. Johnny Manziel, he gets picked in the first round at the 22nd pick. And Justin Gilbert, who is the first round pick with the highest pick, I think it's in the fourth pick in the draft in the first round, has to take a back seat because all the media and all the buzz is for Johnny Manziel.
Agreed. Yeah, you want to sell tickets. Cleveland, they're going to sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And Marshall Faulk and the rest of the guys said that Cleveland is actually ending up like the movie Game Day. You know, their draft.
You mean Draft Day?
Yeah, Draft Day is looking just like the movie Draft Day,
mm-hmm.
except the GM isn't Kevin Costner, and the accountant isn't Jennifer Gardner. So when you want to put butts in seats, you go and get that high-profile quarterback. You cause this issue to take place, but you got guys that, you know, genuinely deserve the public spotlight getting a little backseat because of Johnny Manziel. It's okay. You know why? Because that takes pressure off of that kid. That kid is a press corner, if I'm not mistaken, from Oklahoma State, who's supposed to be the best corner in this year's draft. And, yes, he deserves some praise. But let all that stuff go to Johnny Manziel. So that means when I go and perform, if I have a mistake, they're talking about me. They're talking about Johnny Manziel and his quarterback controversy or his quarterback competition with Brian Hoyer. On the flip side, somebody that might not even get drafted from what a lot of people are saying now is your boy, Michael Sam.
Who boy is that?
Michael Sam? Yes.
You're a funny guy, man. You're a funny guy.
I'm asking you, what's your thoughts?
My boy. Why's it got to be my boy?
No reason. Just he's your boy.
Okay. I'll let him be my boy. No, not a problem. Well, he's stiff in the hips. He's slow.
I wouldn't think that. Some dudes say he's not stiff in the hips.
Excuse me?
I'm comfortable
in who I am. So I have no issue in saying that. He's stiff in the hips. He doesn't transition well for coverage, to cover, and he's slow. He's very slow. So as he gets picked, he may not get picked even in the seventh round. It may be a issue, as in he'd be a priority free agent. So and try to find his way to be a special teams player. All it takes is one team to draft him. So you got the majority of the fifth round and the sixth and seventh round for teams to decide whether they want to take a shot with Michael Sam. So,
and you know, I think the kid deserves an opportunity to be drafted. You know, if he's Mr. Irrelevant, that's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people say he won't even be that. You know, I think if you put him in the right situation, he can be just as dominant as he was with Missouri. You know, you put him on the opposite side of a very talented DN, where they got to double that DN and leave him one-on-one, there may be some stuff that goes down where he's getting the sack, where he's pressuring the quarterback, where he's making the tackle. And that's just with any player, honestly. If you put any high-talented player in a bad situation, they're not going to be that good. Not until they get in a better situation, a la Steve Young. Steve Young went to Tampa Bay, stunk up the joint, stepped behind Joe Montana. Now he's a Hall of Famer. Is it because of his talent, or is it because of the talent that was around him that he's a Hall of Famer? I say it's because of the talent around him. You know, there's a difference. There's a difference in great players and busts. Jamarcus Russell is a bust. No matter what talent you put around him, he would be a bust. Akili Smith, a bust. Couldn't help him. Didn't do it. Ryan Leaf, a bust. Couldn't help him either. But if you put a person like, let's say, would you classify Mario Williams as a bust, Mr. Taylor?
No, Mario Williams was not a bust. Mario Williams played very well for the Houston Texans. And he would still be there if not for they didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to pay him. Plain and simple. So he moved on. He moved on. He went where the money was. Just imagine if Mario Williams was still there with J.J. Watt. Wow. There may not be a Jadeveon Clowney that got picked up today. On Thursday.
I agree. But that's what I mean by a guy like Michael Sam. You know, hard motor guy that's not going to quit on you. Will you have to work with him? Yeah, you're going to have to work with him. But that's what coaches do. Coaches are teachers. And, you know, that's a problem that a lot of folks don't get, that some of these players are natural athletes and they need to be coached. You have to find the coaching mechanism to ignite their learning ability. Now, a lot of these kids are labeled athletes because that's a kind way of saying they have no real football sense. They're just very athletic. Well, I mean, it might be true. It might be true, but at the same time, you got to teach that kid how to read your defense or how to react in your defense. So it is what it is. And, you know, I want to transition this back to basketball. As we end this show, we got about 15 minutes left alive there. I want to get your thoughts on Mark Jackson, because we're talking about coaches. Now, Mark Jackson recently went on a local radio station, sports talk station, and talked about how he's free. He's glad he's no longer there because the spies and, you know, the stuff that they was putting out was saying that he didn't want to move to Oakland. He didn't want to do this. He said, yes, no. He said, yes, I didn't want to move to Oakland. I have a house in L.A. I have a church in L.A. That's where I want to be. That's where I'm going to stay and stuff like that. And he talked about how one of his assistant coaches was just going around taping every conversation, everything that was going on, and reporting it back to Jerry West. And how the one coach that he fired in the middle was undermining him, middle of the season, was undermining him because he was contradicting anything he was saying in practice. Now, one other big knock that they gave on Mark Jackson was that he wasn't an X and O's coach. Well, Phil Jackson wasn't an X and O's coach either. He could draw up some plays, but he had people there for him to draw up the triangle offense to make it work the way he wanted to work while he sat on the bench and let them play. So, again, JT, ATM Money, what are your thoughts on this Mark Jackson firing? And if you haven't heard any of the backlash, I suggest you look it up. But what do you think?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm a huge admirer of Mark Jackson, a huge admirer as a player and as a coach. And I think it's a travesty that that he got fired. Supposedly he couldn't play well with others, and from what you're telling me is that there was a lot of undermining of what he wanted to do. And the owner, from what I understand, didn't like Mark Jackson. I don't know if it's because Mark Jackson had that, excuse me, East Coast type of mentality versus the West Coast, and there is a difference. And the West Coast type of mentality couldn't deal with it. Mark Jackson was doing things his own way, and quite naturally, if you see over the few seasons that he was there, it was working, and his players loved him because the honesty and straightforwardness that he had with them. If it ain't broke, in my opinion, don't fix it. If you got something working, I don't care if you're the owner. You don't get along with the coach, but the coach is giving you results. But he's rubbing people the wrong way. Maybe those people need to be rubbed the wrong way. Maybe he's trying to change the culture of the upper management or the whole organization because they've been losers and had a dysfunctional organization for so long. And he comes in there and brings a winning attitude and a winning coaching style, and they want to get rid of him, or they got rid of him. Now they're looking for Steve Kerr, who's another possible guy that never have had a coaching job, but they're going to bring him in place. What's going to happen? Is this going to be another thing like Lovie Smith? No. Let me think now. Like who's in Tampa Bay?
Lovie.
Was Lovie in Tampa Bay when John Gruden took over, or was it someone else?
Oh, Tony Dungy.
Is this going to be another Tony Dungy type of thing? That Tony Dungy built a team that was a dynamite potential Super Bowl team. They fired him. The following year, they go to the Super Bowl, and John Gruden's the toast of the town when he comes in there. Now, Mark Jackson has built this team up to be a very extremely good team with a lot of potential and a lot of youth in it. Someone's going to come in and reap the rewards of that. Look at what happened in San Francisco. Regardless of what you think of Mike Singletary, he built that team up to be one hell of a team. Now, Jim Harbaugh is taking over. And taking that, Jim Harbaugh has taken over and ran with it. And most of those players are Mike Singletary's team that was in place. You understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
Come on. I mean, I understand that, you know, you the coach may be an issue. Mike Singletary had his issues. And he wasn't, in my honesty, he wasn't a very good coach, but he built a very good team with a lot of good players on that team. Mark Jackson, I think he proved himself. I thought he was a hell of a coach and getting the most out of a team that was good on offense and was very reluctant to play defense, and he got them to play a decent amount of defense to put them into the playoffs a few times. So I don't agree. The bottom line, I didn't agree with getting rid of Mark Jackson. But if they can get rid of George Karl for the big-time job he did over in Denver, then I guess they can get rid of Mark Jackson also. Doesn't make any difference to me. Doesn't make a difference. It just doesn't make any sense to me. When you got a formula of a coach that's winning with a team that likes to coach, to get rid of him and bring in somebody else.
Well, you know, people act like Steve Kerr is the shiznit. You know what I mean? I think Mark Jackson would be willing to go back to New York and coach there. Whereas the town loves him. Well, Oakland loves him here too. Oakland loves him here too. But where he's already a star, he went to college there. He can take that team and mold it the way he molded this team. He's not going to find another Steph Curry. He's not going to find another Klay Thompson. But what he will find is a general manager who's willing to work with him and give him the tools he needs. Now, with the general manager and the owner work together to get things done, I don't know. I really don't know. I would hope so. I really would. But, you know, it's strange bedfellows here when you look at what happened with Mark Jackson. You know, if you can't get along with your boss, yeah, maybe it's time to leave. Maybe it's time to leave. But as you said, JT, if they bring in Steve Kerr and they do go to the title game next year, they're going to say, well, he was the missing link. He was the thing that was missing from the team, from the group. And just like they did with John Gruden and Tony Dungy, you know, John Gruden became the greatest coach of all time in Tampa.
What happened
the next year? The next year after they went to the Super Bowl, the next year they blew up the team a little bit because everybody wanted money, and the team suffered.
Right.
And you know, even though he's got the bulk of the Golden State Warriors locked up for 3 to 5 years, you know, that's pretty daggone good. But that was under Jerry West and Mark Jackson's 10-year. I don't think a lot of those players would have said, okay, well, if Mark Jackson's not going to be here, I'm going to re-up for a couple years. You know, if they had any indication that Mark Jackson may not be their head coach, I don't think a lot of them would sign an extension. That's just my thought process on it, you know.
Well, I have to agree with you.
So it is what it is. And Carolina just made a trade with Minnesota to pick a player. Let's see if they pick a wide receiver. From my understanding, I don't think they picked a wide receiver yet in the draft. Oh, yes, they did. My bad. They got Kelvin Benjamin with their first-round pick, but that was the only wide receiver they picked up. And that kind of makes me go, Steve Smith and go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me put it this way. You got two organizations that are in need of wide receivers. One with a possible suspension of their best wide receiver and one of the best wide receivers with a breakout season last year in Josh Gordon, meaning Cleveland Browns. I haven't seen them grab a wide receiver yet. And the Carolina Panthers, quite naturally, they blew up their wide receiving core and are definitely in need of wide receivers. They only picked up one wide receiver. I don't understand, unless they're relying on guys getting dropped after all the fallout of the draft and people start getting into training camp and off-season programs, that they're going to be able to pick up guys and use them. I don't understand. You got wide receivers, and this is supposed to be a big draft for wide receivers, and wide receivers are dropping left and right, and the teams that need them don't seem like they're picking them up. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
why they don't want to develop him, whatever, I don't know. Just who they pick, but the Panthers got somebody. Anyway, we're coming to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We have approximately 5 minutes left in the show, and I want to just tell everybody, every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's the FSP show, where we talk about football, baseball, basketball, b-ball, too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's fantasy, sports, and politics. I just threw that for my guys from the crew show. But that's what they did. Well, you got to listen to the show Thursday to hear that episode. I mean, the intro. You'll know where I got that from. Anyway, Saturday is once again each show time right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's me, Jesus, FSP, along with JT, AK, and Money. If it's not me, it's JT. If it's not JT, then it's going to be a replay. Unless we have something else going on the day. Maybe, just maybe, we'll get Jackie Taylor on in a week or so. So you come on and talk about these NBA playoffs and what's going on. Then on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you got JT, AK, and Money with the Master Plan. JT, what's going on this Sunday?
I'm going to. You know what? I think I'm going to break down some of these teams and grade them on their drafts. I think I'm going to do that. When it's all said and done, which is going to be in the next few rounds, you get a better idea of what these teams look like with all their picks, regardless of how many picks a team had. I'll break down a few teams and maybe highlight a few teams. Grade them from A to E or whatever, and probably talking about some fantasy baseball, my baseball team, because that's what I do every Sunday. And just because I'm not winning doesn't mean I'm not going to talk about it. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. Also, this is all in an hour. Talking about the NBA. There's some NBA games that are going to be played today, and talk about the. What the NBA playoffs outlook looks like for some teams, whether they're going to be in the hunt or they're just going to be whipping boys.
Okay. Also, I think A.J. McCarron is going to get picked up by Tampa Bay. I just think he is. But on Thursday, 8 a.m., excuse me, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you got FSP Crusoe with AJ, AK, and Money, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie doing their thing. Talking about the weekend sports, and that's what they do. My guys hold it down. Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, no chaser, they're on hiatus for the summer, so I don't think we're going to be talking about that for a little while, but when they come, they're going to come good. And I was wrong. Tampa Bay got a tackle. Kevin Hanfield out of Purdue. 2 minutes left in the air, so I'm going to end the show like this. Stump the hump, Ty. Stump the hump. You ready, JT?
Go ahead, man.
Who was the 1963 NFL Hall of Fame inductee that was a coach, a player, and an NFL president?
A coach, a player, and NFL president?
Uh-huh. He was a coach, a player, and an NFL president.
1963 Hall of Fame inductee.
Yep, and that's giving way too much information there.
I know this. I'm going to take a wild stab at this, but I'm really not sure. How about slinging Sammy Ball?
Nope. It was Jim Thorpe.
He was the NFL president?
He was the first NFL president, to be exact.
Really?
So, yes.
Okay.
Stump the Hump wins again. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I love testing Jerry's knowledge. As I said, when I'm on this show, I already know the guys better than me sometimes.
Oh, boy.
But when I hold the cards, it's all good.
Oh boy, you are so you are so insecure, man. It boggles my mind. Huh?
Whatever. All right, we're about to get out of here. Say your last parting shot, JT.
A parting shot is this. Victor, I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. For the mothers of the in the world, enjoy your day tomorrow. Every day is really Mother's Day, in my opinion, but you have a special day tomorrow. So enjoy your day. Take advantage of it. Don't do anything. Let your loved ones, your sons, your daughters, or your grandkids take care of you for the day. Enjoy the day. And from Victor and myself.
Not yet.
Okay, that's all I have to say. Enjoy Mother's Day for those mothers out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a plethora of sports out there going on right now. But don't forget about the political aspect of the world. There's some stuff going on with the Ukraine and Russia that can impact us over here in the United States. So make sure you keep in touch with that. To all the people, all the young men that just got drafted or will be drafted or will join the NFL this year, good luck to you. Use your brain. Shaq spent $1 million in less than 1 hour when he signed his first contract. After that, he's put his foot in everything, and now he's a multimillionaire endorsing everything. Dr. Dre, the rapper, he signed a deal with Apple with $3.2 billion. $3.2 billion. Be smart with your money, guys. Do what you got to do. To all the mothers out there, especially my mother and my wife, perhaps even the mother of my children, I want to say happy Mother's Day. Mommy, I sent you some flowers, so you should be getting them soon. I know you're not listening to this because you hate technology, but I love you. And to my wife, I love you very much. Thank you for my beautiful children and raising them and giving me some heirs and people I can beat up on and turn into what I want them to be. JT, I want to thank you for coming on, helping me out, homeboy, doing what you do to do it for me as well as for you. Have moved with your mom, your sisters, as well as your wife and all that.
Thank you.
Not a problem. You may kick it like you normally kick it, my friend.
Okay, from Victor and myself, who are part of the FSP and FSP crew, you have been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.